The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
I want to move on because we have a very special panel coming your way a little bit later on this evening on Off the Ball. We're going to be having a Living Well and Beyond with Cancer panel. This is all in association with the Irish Cancer Society. It's supported by Novartis Ireland, and it's an OTB Sports Takeover Day today across all of our channels and all of our platforms. And we're really happy to be supporting this because it's a hugely important issue, particularly at the moment. And we'll get into why in just a second. So our panel this evening is going to include Tony Ward, Mary Cullen and Noel McGrath. And it's that time of the year when the Irish Cancer Society are raising badly needed funds. For more details and to donate, check out cancer.ie. The Irish Cancer Society support line is a supportive information service staffed by experienced cancer nurses, where anybody concerned about cancer can get trusted information and advice about any type of cancer. You can call free phone 1-800-200-700 or email supportline@irishcancer.ie. I'm delighted to say with us this morning are Dr. Cathy Kelly, who's a consultant oncologist at the Mater Hospital in Dublin, and Dr. Noel McCaffrey, a sports and exercise medicine specialist and the CEO of Xwell Medical. You're both very welcome. Noel, if I could start with you, you might tell us a little bit about what Xwell is and what the innovation is there, please.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for having us on the show. So Xwell Medical is a social enterprise which offers structured exercise programs to people with different long-term, also called chronic illnesses. The rationale being that a lot of the unwellness in any long-term illness is in fact caused by becoming deconditioned or unfit, either because the patient becomes afraid of exercise or nervous about it, or because they're actually told to become less active. And we run a big program, many, many centres with lots of partners and supporters in different areas of industry and medicine around the country. And I suppose a key element of what we do, or an important element of what we do, is cancer. Even though cancer, in some instances, is not a long-term illness, by which I mean it is cured. But we do a lot of work in helping people with different types of cancer to either remain active if they previously were active before their diagnosis, or to become active if they previously were not active. And in both cases, this has a major, major impact on their wellness through the cancer journey. And recently, with the help of Novartis, we are partnering with the Mater and with Cathy's team to try to embed an exercise offering as part of the routine care of all cancer patients passing through the Mater service, and hopefully the services of other centres as well. And as part of a broader, I suppose, offering within the broader cancer cohort that is non-breast cancer patients, exercise is increasingly recognised as having a critical role in enhancing wellness through the treatment pathway and in preparing people to do well around surgical treatment of cancers.
Cathy, could you talk to us a bit about that and just explain what difference an exercise program around surgery might make for cancer patients?
Yeah, it's huge. Firstly, when Noel came to us and talked to us about this program, I have to say the whole cancer team, from surgeons to medical oncologists to all our nurses, everyone, we absolutely jumped at the chance. It's the response and the enthusiasm around it among us and patients is absolutely enormous. In terms of cancer, we would in treating cancer, firstly we would think of exercise and physical activity as a way to prevent developing cancer, so that's why it's so important that everybody should be physically active. And then for our cancer patients, if they develop a cancer, we know that regular structured exercise, as Noel describes, can improve their long-term survival, which is the ultimate goal, but it'll also help them tolerate all of the treatments, for example the surgeries. I'm more involved in our breast cancer side of things, but I know my lung cancer colleagues and the lung surgeons and all of the patients going for lung cancer surgeries now see Noel and go through a program, and it certainly gets them through fitter and gets them through their surgery better and on the road to recovery quicker. In terms of the treatments I give, like chemotherapies and immunotherapies, and they can often cause a fatigue, and certainly exercising and maintaining that your level of exercise while you're receiving those treatments really improves how you can tolerate them. In terms of the psychosocial impact of physical activity, it's enormous, and I see it and have seen it over the years when we've referred patients for various exercise programs, that the positive benefits, not just in terms of their physical activity, but just the social aspect of it, the effect on their mood, their confidence. So we were really happy that the Mater Foundation here, which is our official fundraising body in the Mater Hospital, and through the support that we get for, in this instance, the Breast Cancer Wellness Program, that we're able to also, from the Mater side, support this program. And I think what Noel said was key, that really it has to be embedded in the treatment pathway. It's a treatment and it's not an extra. It's crucial. It should be a pillar of our cancer therapy. So this is something that we're going to work strongly on with Noel over the coming years.
On that social aspect you mentioned there, Cathy, is it a sense that most people feel that they should be resting and resting is all they should be doing?
It depends a little bit on the person, how physically active they were before their diagnosis, the impact of their cancer treatments, etc. But I'm increasingly, and we're increasingly saying to patients to remain active and don't just stop all that good work and that good physical activity you have been doing. When you start your treatment, try as much as possible to maintain it. And I guess that's where Noel and his team are going to help them to do that, to maintain that. And certainly if they haven't been physically active, that now is the time to really start. So we're getting moving away from trying to wrap people up in cotton wool and tell them not to do anything. They really, for their health and long-term benefit, have to exercise.
I'm sure there's no one-size-fits-all approach, Noel, but is there particular exercises that you focus on or any particular elements of a training program that you generally roll out for the majority of people?
Really good question. And I think the answer to that is that in broad terms, everybody needs probably three components to their exercise. That's a mixture of strength work, of aerobic exercise, and also core stability and balance. And different elements of that are, I suppose, more important in different age groups. So it is more important, for example, to focus on balance in people who are that bit frailer, maybe older. Although the really interesting thing is that some of the side effects of treatment in the cancer pathway would include a thing called peripheral neuropathy, where the nerves are damaged by some of the chemotherapy treatments. And that can lead to unsteadiness and a bit of clumsiness. And working on improving balance can be very important in that grouping. I'd like to touch back on one thing that Cathy said, which is the psychological element here is probably as important as the physical element. And what people tell us who've been on the programs are that being involved in exercise following completing cancer treatment can be really important in resuming a normal existence in terms of things as simple as getting out of the house, driving again, getting dressed again. These little milestones, which might seem trivial to us, which are actually very, very important. And the other main group that describe enormous benefit is those who are preparing for curative cancer surgery. And so if you get your diagnosis of breast cancer today or prostate cancer or whatever, and you meet our team tomorrow, literally, because of the network and referral packet that's there, and you exercise intensely every day up until your surgery, and literally we wave you off to the surgery as a group before you go. The most important benefit that people describe to us of that is that it is something to do rather than sitting around looking out the window waiting for the grim day to arrive. And the other thing is you meet people on the same journey, and even more importantly, you see people who've come back for their post-operative treatment and they're still alive and they're doing well. And that whole thing manages to reduce the fear of surgery, which is really, really important. And what we're finding now is that there are so many excellent groups around the country interested in this, so many of the support groups, the Irish Cancer Society, ARC, hospital groups that have a big, big, big interest in enhancing wellness through exercise, such as UPMC in the Southeast, which is a brilliant embedded exercise program for prostate and all sorts of cancers. It's becoming much more mainstream, and some of our research will show that if you don't exercise in the pre-surgical period when you're having chemotherapy or radiotherapy, your fitness plummets. And if you apply an exercise program at the end of the treatment phase, in the interval between that and the surgery, you can dramatically improve your fitness, restore it back to where it was before your chemo radiotherapy started. And that has a major impact on preparing you for surgery and reducing your likelihood of complications of surgery and enhancing your recovery afterwards. So we've been at this for a long time, but you can imagine how delighted we were when Novartis actually reached out to us and said, we'd like to work with you on this program on one condition, that it's a long-term, that it's a long-term relationship. We never hear that. It was an amazing approach. We were just thrilled. And then we went to the matter, and Kathy's team could not have been more excited. And we've been working with breast cancer for quite a long time, but we're now putting a structure on it. And what Kathy said is to embed it as normal care, as well as meeting the consultant, as well as being treated with different things. By the way, there's your exercise program, and you have to do it. You have to opt out rather than opt in. That's big, big news for us and for all of our partners. It's great stuff. It really is great stuff.
It sounds now like the social side of it is almost, the psychological thing is, a diagnosis like this, I can only imagine, leaves you feeling very isolated and alone. And obviously there are support networks out there, but actually physically being in the presence of other people or being part of a group of people who are going through the same, it's that team element, I suppose. You kind of lean a little bit on that fact that we all perform better in teams generally, especially when we're striving towards a goal.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. And I think the consistent feedback we've got, and it's a really privileged position for us all to be in, to be working with these groups. But the sense of gratitude and restoration of hope and the peer support that they get from people going through the same journey. And unlike other illnesses in our program, where we feel there's a benefit actually mixing up people with different illnesses, so that they're sort of not over-consumed by their own medical problem, and they see people with different conditions who may be a little bit worse off than them, we tend to sort of mix up the other chronic illnesses in our classes rather than run specific programs for specific diagnoses. The exception is cancer. And the reason for that is that the peer support is so consistently amazing, and it is so immediate that if we get a group of strangers into an induction session for the XWELL program, within 5 minutes, if it's a cancer program, they're having really heartfelt, deep and meaningful conversations with colleagues they've never met before about their situation. And it is incredible, the friendships and the supports that grow over a period of 12 weeks on an exercise program. Now, obviously with COVID, there's a challenge then of trying to reproduce that social interaction and respect the guidelines of the public health effort in tackling it. And that has been a challenge. But to some extent, I suppose, the big challenge in chronic illness rehab in general is to continue carrying it out in the COVID era, because it's even more important, as like in a touching on a slightly different topic, the deconditioning of cocooners is an amazing problem and a big problem. But it applies as well to cancer patients who would have the additional fear, being a vulnerable group, maybe of coming together in the first place in COVID. So that whole challenge is sort of, I suppose, a current one, which hopefully will be resolved with vaccinations and everything, and leave us back in this space that is growing rapidly of offering exercise as a core treatment in the cancer journey, no matter what stage which you're at. And that includes advanced cancer. It includes that group as well who are really interested in experiencing normal exercise again, maybe not pursuing improvements in fitness in the same way that other groups on the cancer pathway would, but having an equally important impact on their quality of life.
Kathy, are these conversations straightforward? Does everybody understand them immediately when you begin to say, look, here's your diagnosis and the shock, and immediately we're going to get you exercising? Is it is it a straightforward conversation, or are people like, here, listen, you've just given me this very bad news and now you're telling me I've got to go and run some laps?
No, like what generally happens is, you know, I'll go through their cancer diagnosis and their prognosis, possibly, if they're asking questions about that, and we'll go through that in detail. And then we'll talk about the treatment and treatment options and potential side effects of treatment and pros and cons of different treatments. And quite commonly at that point, patients will say, okay, I'll take this treatment, but what can I do? What can I be doing? And that's usually the opening when you say, well, what you can be doing is you can be maintaining your fitness and being physically active. And I guess up until when Noel came with this program, I wasn't able to say, well, and here's a program, and this is what you should do, and this is what I could recommend, and this is what will be best for you. And I guess the excitement we're feeling is that now we can say, yes, you know, you have to be physically active, and here's what you do, and we can hand that thankfully over to Noel to take charge of that. But the patients are so they know, and they're delighted with it. And you know, patients are turning up on Noel's door before we even referred them now at this stage. So I think we're all everyone's chomping at the bit to get started. So
Noel, I did want to ask about the stereotypical Irish male who will notice something is amiss and repress that information for a good long period of time until it's absolutely imminent or something urgent is happening. How do we convince Irish men to be a bit more engaged with their health issues? And are we getting any better?
That's a really interesting question, and I might be the best expert to answer that one. But I think, and maybe Cathy can help here, I think what is happening is that cancer, which used to be a very sobering diagnosis and one which came with almost like a death sentence sort of atmosphere around it, that's changed fundamentally because the cure rates and survival rates are jumping through the sky, really. And very often cancer is now being viewed as either a completely curable illness or a long-term illness, like other long-term illnesses. And so that in itself, I think, is percolating through. So the people are becoming maybe less afraid of addressing it. I'm not sure if Cathy would agree with that, but I think that would be our experience, that it's the dark side of it, or the real worry about it, is becoming a bit less. Now, I suppose there is still a journey to go, and it may simply be that not so much people are afraid of a diagnosis, but they're just not aware of the significance of maybe a testicular swelling or loss of appetite or symptoms that might mean something to us that they just don't understand or appreciate. So the educational bit around that, if you have an alarming or a symptom that would worry the medical profession, and those key things would be sort of weight loss or loss of appetite or night pain or an unusual swelling, particularly a solid swelling, which is slowly enlarging, things like that, or bleeding, which is unexplained, should prompt people to go and have it looked at. And I think myself that the fear of it is becoming a little less as time is passing. I suppose one other thing that I wouldn't mind touching on is the fact that there are certain symptoms of cancer which present challenges around exercise. And I mean, to briefly go through them, fatigue is one. You know, the cancer-related fatigue is fatigue which is characteristically not relieved by a night's sleep. And interestingly, exercise does not make it worse. In fact, you can make it better if the exercise is appropriate. So the idea of fatigue being a barrier to exercise is not true, nor is pain, which can be a feature of cancer and indeed of other conditions. But pain itself is not necessarily a barrier to taking part in exercise. And there are ways around managing pain in terms of, you know, the time of day you do it, the sort of exercises you do, strapping that you use, or, you know, pre-exercise stretching or this and that. Then I mentioned the peripheral neuropathy one earlier on. That again is not a barrier. So lymphedema is swelling of a limb, which occurs usually in the upper limb of breast cancer patients, which is a real concern to patients because it tends to be a lifelong challenge of dealing with it. And it's explained by interruption of the lymphatic pathway by surgery or by radiation. Again, exercise not only does not make it worse, but can make it better. So there are very, very few contraindications to exercise in cancer. And most people can do something. And that's a very important point. It's not a matter in our program of, do you qualify to attend? It's more, what will you do when you attend, rather than can you attend? Now, that said, obviously there are situations where there are risks and there are concerns, but we're aware of those, and we will help patients to take part in some way to suit their ability.
Whatever is appropriate, of course. Yeah. Kathy, did you want to come in there on the issue of people getting checked?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we are all concerned with COVID and people cocooning, that people and with the interruptions to our screening programs, that maybe there are people out there who are experiencing some of the symptoms that Noel has mentioned that aren't coming forward to get checked. And so I'd really encourage them, and especially men who sometimes tend to hang on and not present, that they go to their GP or call their GP and let them know. And in most cases, it'll turn out to be nothing. In terms of definitely cancer, thankfully, through the Irish Cancer Society and all many different organisations, and just because we have more programmes like this and are talking about it a bit more, that it isn't such a frightening diagnosis, and that, you know, that most patients, thankfully, are cured of their cancer. We've over 200,000 cancer survivors in the country, and then patients who, unfortunately, whose cancer does come back, and many of those, you know, were referring to Noel's program, and they have normal quality of life and they continue to work, and a lot of the treatment, people tend to think, oh God, the treatments are going to be chemotherapy, and certainly for some people it will be chemotherapy and there will be side effects, but often the treatments we're giving now have very few side effects, or some of our immunotherapy drugs that are single agents, that I have 80 and even 90-year-old patients coming in and getting these treatments, and they're not experiencing any side effects. And, you know, there's the, I just, before I took this call, I was on our skin cancer meeting, and most of our patients are in their 80s and 90s, and often really physically active and very much wanting to get their any treatment possible to prolong their lives. So, you know, yes, I think cancer is, a diagnosis of cancer is always going to be frightening, and it is frightening. But in most cases, you know, especially if someone presents early, the outcomes are good. Patients can go on and live normal life expectancies and be cured of their cancer. And in those cases where cancers return, our treatments are getting, you know, better and better, and have gotten better, and many people with metastatic or advanced cancers, you know, they need to be focusing on their other illnesses as well, because they'll, you know, you want to survive your cancer and your heart disease and diabetes. So all of these things are, you know, are linked, and that's why our treatments and a treatment now, which is exercise, are all linked in and so important.
That makes a whole heap of sense. Guys, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks a million for being so generous with your time. That's Dr. Noel McCaffrey and Dr. Kathy Kelly there. You're listening to the OTB Sports Takeover. It's a full day in association with the Irish Cancer Society, supported by Novartis Ireland. Now, later on this evening and off the ball, we're going to have a Living Well and Beyond with Cancer panel alongside Tony Ward, Mary Cullen and Noel McGrath. It's that time of the year when the Irish Cancer Society are raising badly needed funds. For more details and to donate, check out cancer.ie. The Irish Cancer Society support line is a supportive information service staffed by experienced cancer nurses, where anyone concerned about cancer can get trusted information and advice about any type of cancer. Call free phone 1-800-200-700 or email supportline@irishcancer.ie. It is 8:45 this morning here on OTB AM.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.